honorable. Just do your job. So if you continue to work hard, both abroad, in the country, and your constituency, I see no use why you cannot be re-elected. And this is exactly what I have done. In my constituency, I have built hospitals. I have built schools. I have built banks, because we, the three constituencies, don't have, you know, actually commercial banks, and people are spending so much money.
What lessons do you think women in Sierra Leone are drawing from you being the only independent female parliamentarian and seeking re-election?
What they actually have studied from me and they're getting from me is the fact that they've seen that brave woman, that thick-skinned woman who doesn't care about names. We have the same qualification. We are human beings like them. So if she can do it and do not listen to all these names, those finger pointing at her, we can do it also. I've had so many, you know, seminars, you know, meetings. They've had me, you know, my topics, my talks, you know, about women empowerment. I've shown them that politics, yes, because we are Africans. Women, even when you hiss at them, they will cry the whole day. They don't want to be insulted. They don't want to be called names. But I have cleared that in their minds, that it doesn't matter what they call you. Just focus. You want it, go for it, get it. Don't look at them anymore. And we are doing this campaign, sensitizing them to let them know politics, they need to join politics to help this country grow. And if women are among these decision takers, it will be better for the country. Because whatever men can do today, my friend, I don't know you, but women can do better.
What should be the expectations of residents of Kailahun if they decide to re-elect you as their representative in parliament?
Well, the expectation is this, that I continue to do better. You understand? That what I have taught the other ladies, what the other ladies have actually heard from me and have seen from me and want to copy me, you know, continue to the point of now trying to create an organization which we call Catch Them Young, you see? So they are expecting that we bring all these women together and for me to help them, you see, to empower them, you know, morally and spiritually, for them to be stronger. Because parliament is not an easy place, so for you to stand up and talk in parliament is not easy. But me around them, they believe they will be encouraged, they will be you know, pampered, and I will take fear from them.
Emilia Lolo Tongi is an independent parliamentarian. She spoke with me from the Sierra Leonean capital, Freetown. Ghana has deployed 1,000 special forces to its northern border with Burkina Faso after gunmen this week shot at immigration officers in a border town, killing one. The attack has sparked fears that Islamist militants in Burkina Faso are stirring up unrest to expand in the region. For VOA, Kent Mensah reports from the Ghanaian capital, Accra.
A 40-year-old ethnic conflict between the Mamprusi and Kusasi people over a chieftaincy seat in Boku, an hour drive from the Burkina Faso border with Ghana, has escalated into a war, reportedly involving foreign combatants, which has left over 30 people dead between December and April, according to local police records. Experts say the porous borders and smuggling routes have become a major threat to the peaceful atmosphere in Ghana, as Islamist militants take advantage of political instability in Ouagadougou to expand their frontiers in coastal West Africa from the Sahel region. Amadou Hamza, the mayor of the border town of Boku in the Upper East region of Ghana, tells VOA that the last security situation at Unmanned entry point is worrying.
The challenge we have is that there are a lot of loopholes where there could be a permanent post there. However, the government of Ghana, for one or two reasons, have not gotten enough resources to be able to have those permanent soldiers policing those areas to prevent the jihadists.
He said the internal conflict coupled with the instability in Burkina Faso have adversely affected the town's once thriving economy, making the unemployment situation worse and young people more vulnerable to recruitment by Islamist militants.
So there's a complete reduction in the general economy of Burkina. Majority of the people can come in from Burkina. Majority of the people can also come in from Togo, Niger, and Mali. People from Burkina can also cross. Only few of them risk their life to go. The fear is that when you go, the jihadists will kill. And unemployment is a major cause of the jihadists for them to get you and recruit you into their camps.
Mama Yariga is a member of parliament representing a district in Boku and a member of the opposition National Democratic Congress, NDC. He says terrorists are knocking on Ghana's door from volatile northern frontiers and is calling on the government to channel more resources toward resolving the decades-long ethnic conflict within Boku.
After this talk about terrorism, you have a problem. You are not focusing your resources on it. You are not concerned about the lives of people in Boku that are dying. You are concerned about terrorists crossing over. I mean, come on. Are you saying that the Ghana Armed Forces cannot manage that small geographical space? That's my real fundamental problem.
As the Ghanaian government increases its security presence in Boku by sending more troops to ensure safety, Adib Sani, the executive director of the Jatike Center for Peace Building, said officials must focus more on improving the lives of the locals by providing them with basic amenities.
So access to education is key. Access to basic necessities of life, food, water, sanitation, shelter, etc. Especially opportunities for young people who are largely unemployed and sit under trees to talk the whole day, and they have guns on them.
Ghana has so far been spared direct attack linked to Islamist militants in Burkina Faso, but with Boku fast becoming the epicenter of violent attacks on citizens, especially women and children, the security agencies are pressed to up their game to protect 844,000 inhabitants and secure the borders. Kent Mensah for VOA News, Accra, Ghana.
Listening to Nightline Africa on the English service of The Voice of America. I'm your host, Peter Clotty, in Washington, D.C. And coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, the Saturday music spot from our collection of music from the continent. But first, healthcare workers in Zimbabwe have condemned the government's plan to criminalize their recruitment to work in other countries as part of efforts to reduce a medical brain drain. Zimbabwe's Vice President and Health Minister Constantino Chiwenga says the country will introduce a law to make it illegal for foreign nations to hire their healthcare workers. For VOA, Colombo's Mavunga reports from the Zimbabwean capital, Harare.
Zimbabwe's Association of Doctors for Human Rights says any attempt to prevent healthcare workers from leaving the country for better jobs would be illegal. The head of the association, Dr. Norman Matara, told VOA Friday the government's plan to criminalize foreign recruitment of healthcare workers was shocking.
Also, in our own constitution, the Zimbabwean constitution, it actually guarantees that citizens have the right to move freely within the country or leave. So we don't know why those comments were being made by the Honorable Minister of Health. The government continue to use scare tactics and a command approach to solving healthcare problems.
Matara was responding to comments Wednesday by Zimbabwe's Vice President Constantino Chiwenga. Chiwenga, who doubles as health minister, said the government would introduce a law against foreign recruiting of its healthcare workers to address a medical brain drain.
If one deliberately recruits and makes the country suffer because it lacks the required professionals, that's a crime against humanity. If people die in hospitals because there are no nurses and doctors, and somebody who has been so irresponsible of not training their own nationals, but wanting poor countries to train for them, it's a crime. That must be taken seriously.
Matara stresses that Zimbabwe's healthcare workers are choosing to leave.
The government should note that health workers are not being pulled away from the country, but they are being pushed away by the meager salaries that they are getting. They are being pushed by the worsening economic crisis in the country. They are being pushed away by the poor working conditions in the country, lack of equipment, lack of sundries, lack of medicines in the hospitals that they work in. We urge the government to improve the working conditions, pay a living wage. You will see that people will not leave the country.
Justina Shawa is a nurse who's leaving Zimbabwe in May for better work in Canada.
If we were being given enough money, I don't think anybody would want to leave their families, leave their relatives and go work abroad. But at the end of the day, we all want to achieve good things in life. We all want to buy houses. We all want to buy cars. And we also want to send our kids to good schools. So we're failing to do all that. That's the reason why we are reaching out to recruiters. They've done nothing wrong. They're actually helping us to achieve certain things in life.
Zimbabwe's Health Services Board said in November more than 4,000 nurses left the country since 2021. The Zimbabwe Medical Association says the country has only 3,500 doctors for a population of almost 16 million people. Healthcare workers regularly go on strike over poor pay and working conditions. Zimbabwe's government says it does not have enough funds for raises and better equipment, and in January made it illegal for healthcare workers to strike for more than 3 days. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Harare, Zimbabwe.
Multiple award-winning Ghanaian artist Hedem Hoto, popularly known by his name as Edem, recently started a U.S. tour. He will be performing at multiple venues in Washington, D.C., and networking with several prominent entertainers, among them multiple award-winning musicians Swizz Beatz and Jim Jones. The 36-year-old musician this week visited VOA, where he sat down with my colleague Mike Hovey to discuss his trip to the U.S., his recent appearance at the Grammys, possible collaborations with American artists, and a recent announcement that he is running for public office.
So I'm in the U.S. to really just accelerate my presence here visually for media tours, appearances, activations, networking. It's safe to say America has been nice to me since I got here.
Talk to us about these networks, man. What's going on?
My team has been putting together some pipelines to some people of interest for collaborations. All this and more is the reason I was in L.A. to meet Swizz Beatz. Mm-hmm. I also met Paul Exton, who is the producer of Narcos, the series, to look at probable collaborations of how African music can be put in Hollywood. We left L.A. and then we moved to Harlem to pay respect to Dipset's own Jim Jones. Also had conversations and did some stuff in the pipeline that hopefully the world will check out.
We're ready for that. Well, speaking of Afrobeat and how successful it's becoming, how do you feel seeing it right now? You guys are doing stadiums everywhere now.
Yeah, I think this is the greatest time to be alive as an African artist. Growing up, you will be in the club, and don't get it twisted, I love other forms of music, but you hear sessions in the club dominated by other art form. And so for you to now walk into the African clubs and literally hear music from Kenya, Tanzania, Nigeria, Ghana, and across board all through the night, and then leave the shores, come to the U.S. or go to Europe, and it's the same thing. It's a very powerful time.
Do you think that the spotlight on Afrobeat or the spotlight on Africa in general is helping people from different genres, not just the typical sound that we think is Afrobeat?
I think there's a lot of more work to be done, but I think that Afrobeat is the opener, just like the way you might fall in love with reggae and then go and out of that love for reggae you find calypso.
You recently put out Pundits.
Yes.
Break us down the song. What's up?
Yeah, so Pundit is a song just speaking to...
You sound like you're taking jabs at people.
I was really taking jabs at people who sort of like have a very small ambition and then despise people who have limitless ambition. So Pundit came from me coming to the Grammy and a couple of people talking about the fact that they think that I shouldn't be at the Grammy. Now, the funny thing about life is that nobody is more deserving than another. But somehow, people always think they are more deserving to be in your seat than you have without really looking at your record and looking at the amount of sleepless nights you put in to be there. So Pundit is for people like that.
So now to shift from the music, man. You recently put out something on social media where you kind of told people, well, you didn't say actually much, but you hinted to people that you might want to tap into a little politics here and there. What's up with that, man?
Yeah, so I did a social experiment. I was thinking about the political landscape and I was having just conversations with myself. And I decided to put out a flyer for the opposition party. Then when the flyer came out for the opposition party, what I realized was that in the comment section, people who were for the incumbent government came for me. And people who were with the opposition were giving me thumbs up. But one thing I noticed was a lot of people really wanted me to actually run for political office, not because it was me, but because they wanted a lot of young people in positions. Then I announced with the second flyer. Some of the things I learned from the experiment was, one, if we get the same support for the creative arts, we'll achieve more than the politicians. Young people are really politically driven, but are not given the mandate to be able to do it practically.
My follow-up question is, are you going to heed the people's call?
Never say never.
Do you think there's space for entertainers in politics?
I think there's space for anybody with political experience, the political acumen and resume to be able to run. I don't think it should be about being an entertainer.
That was Edem, a multi-award-winning Ghanaian musician. He spoke with my colleague Mike Hovey from our studios in Washington, D.C. To watch the full interview, visit our website, voaafrica.com, or on our YouTube channel, VOA Africa.
Stay engaged with VOA Africa. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message, comments, or greetings. Dial the international code +1 then 202-258-3076. The number again is the international code +1 then 202-258-3076.
Right now it's time for music from our African collection.
Before you go, make a give you for the last one. Baby, tell me what you want. That you want it from the front, or you want it from the back, and make a give you for the last one. Come on, Scooty.
From the front back or center, cause right now I'm tense. If you give me a little of your time, I'll give you a night you remember. We living from the front back or center, cause that's how we enter. If you not with us, then you not a member.
I gave me girls drop a world, she can't take a now. I'm trying to mind, I'm gonna hang out patalize.
I'm gonna vacay and we met on Easter. I was like, woo, head on diva. I know this might be just see your chat, but ooh, girl, you give me that yellow fever.
Tell me what you want, you want it from the front, you want it from the back, and I can give you for the last one.
When I'm on the road, get some water, but they know they keep coming. Me, my team, my leader, on the way to a timer. When they see me, they salute the drone, daughter. To Medina, all the way to Bashima. When they see me, they salute the dawn daughter. When I'm on the road, where you shot up. Ghetto boy, but I know they keep coming. Nima to Medina, all the way to Bashima. When they see me, they salute the dawn daughter.
Drip, 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 drip when I go look. They can see we from afar. I'm protected by Jah Almighty Father. They can see we from afar. I let them understand the way and the mighty Father. They can see we from afar. Protected by Jah Almighty Father. Them can't see we from afar. I let them understand that we and the mighty Father. Told them again, them a burn in the fire. We never sell out, cause man a real buyer. Them set a roadblock on them a tire. Yo, they have something for you.
God and protect me.
Them have nothing for you, hell bad mind. Pass them off, it's fine. Kneel and pray, I'll ask them I go die. And follow the righteous way, from afar. I'm protected by Jah Almighty Father. Them can't see we from afar. I let them understand that we and the mighty Father. Them can't see we from afar. Protected by Jah Almighty Father. Them can't see we from afar. I let them understand that we and the mighty Father. Once they see we in a chaos of them and Gomorrah. With a picnic and call till the game is over. Tell them say we swim a child like a Range Rover. We seal on the wings of Jehovah. I'm a jolly alone. Never know the other.
That was music from the continent, and we hope you enjoyed it.
Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA.
Nightline Africa comes to you on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC from the English service of the Voice of America. And from the rest of the Nightline team, including producer Mike Hovey, we say a big thank you for joining us tonight. And remember, as the elders say, The soup does not move round in an elderly person's belly. I'm your host, Peter Clote, in Washington, D.C. Good evening, Africa.